Minneapolis's historic West Bank, you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're streaming and archived on KFAI.org. It's where community has always grown.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Boy, you act on my ex, got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending and blood quantum's in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
Bonjour, Turtle Island. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud, and you are listening to Medicine Bundle. And happy summer to you. It is already June 2026 here in Minnesota Makoche. And for the Anishinaabe Oyate, the Anishinaabe Nation, we refer to June as the strawberry moon. So happy strawberry moon to you, as well as happy Pride Month to you as well. And June for me holds a very special place in my heart as a powerful time where my firstborn came to be here on Turtle Island, and I met her for the first time. And it was such a beautiful experience, and it's double powerful because my firstborn was born under the strawberry moon, and she is two-spirit, so she teaches me so many beautiful things about life, and so many beautiful ways to look at the world. And she's always been my, just hold me down. You know, your oldest holds you down. I'm an oldest daughter, so I totally know the responsibility of holding the family down. So I want to give a shout out to my daughter, Brianna Ray Green Montez, as she celebrates her 27th revolution around the closest star. And so happy birthday to my girl, and happy Pride Month. I'm looking so forward to Two-Spirit powwow. So on on June 24th at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, New Native Theater is hosting, is it the fifth annual? Oh my goodness, I need to look at this flyer because the time is flying by. And I remember being a part of the very first, okay, it's the fifth annual Two-Spirit Powwow. I don't know why I was thinking 7 years, but yeah, time is crazy. So Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday, June 23rd. So it's not Wednesday. Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. It's a safe space. There's going to be food trucks, Trickster Tacos, and Stevie D's. Oh, Steven D's. I thought it was Stevie D's. Is that a Mandela effect? Because, anywho, there's going to be vendors, raffles, and we have security by Security. So our homies at Security will be holding down the space for our safety and just to make sure they keep an eye on our relatives while we are celebrating the Two Spirit relatives on Turtle Island. This is an event that I look forward to every year. And my co-MC is Trish Cook, who is of the Red Lake Nation of Anishinaabe with me. And she's also a fellow Southsider. And with regards to this show, I'm feeling kind of bad because the last time her and I met, we recorded for this show and we were having tech issues, and for some reason it didn't record her track. So I felt so bad. So we had such a good conversation, but you know, like I came to terms with like, maybe that was just a conversation for just me and her, just to catch up and, just talk about our paths, our career paths, and just our personal journeys and our commonality between one another is, you know, we love comedy. We are performers and speakers, and we're from Red Lake and we're Southside. So that's my girl. That's my partner in crime. Looking forward to it. Minneapolis American Indian Center. It looks like head staff, arena director, Zachary Redbear. And we have head dancers, Kaylee Conier and Asia Ochoa, with the host drum, Mississippi Ojibwe. So there's day pay for singers, honorarium for first 40 registered dancers. And there's also a special head dancer special. First place is $200, second place $175, and third place $150. So all dancers and drummers welcome. Oh my God, drummers. Did I say drummers? And drums welcome. I don't know what year it was. COVID kind of messed me up as far as like, if I can't look at a calendar, I have to like, you know, anyway, as far as dates and remembering dates and stuff. So one year we were outside and I have actually stories. I think I've been the MC every single time, so this is my fifth year. So looking forward to it. We're outside of South High School, and this is before the renovations were done to the Indian Center, and so we were outside, and I think the first year was super duper hot, like unbearable hot, where I felt kind of bad because there was elders, and it was hot, where like, you're kind of nauseous and you're squinting and there's not many, we were on the field. So we're on like the football field, not the football field, but just where, the baseball field or wherever does soccer and stuff, by the murals there across the street from the football field. So it was hot, no trees. Oh gosh. But I do recall, a drum came all the way up from Chicago. Some young men from Chicago, I forgot the name of their drum. It's really fun to hear what drums decide to call themselves. And my memory. It was a difficult year, but I remember how hot it was. And then there was one year also where it was maybe 1 or 2 years ago. We were outside South High, and it rained. It poured. And I had bought a canopy. I thought I was slick, you know, I thought I was like so prepared. I bought a canopy and I set it up, and it broke within minutes of us putting it up. So, that was a huge thunderstorm. It was really, really soaked. And then we all just packed up and went into the gym of South High, and yeah, and it was muggy in there. So my memories of the two-spirit powwow were really getting through it. It was a lot of teachings, you know, and I think that's the nature of our two-spirit community, is bringing us those teachings that, you know, those powerful teachings that no one else can bring. And that's what I wanted to lift up here today on the show, on Medicine Bundle, because I'm solo this week. I wanted to share some songs, some music, but also talk about our two-spirit relatives. And this time of year is such a powerful time for us Indigenous folks, because summer solstice comes around, the thunder beings are visiting often, and you know, it's harvest time, it's time for our ceremonies, we're together in community, we're outdoors fishing, you know, and people are preparing to rice at the end of the summer, and the kids are out of school, and so it's a powerful, busy time. And I wanted to make sure to acknowledge that, as you know, on my show, and just take a moment to just be present, you know. And I think that's one of the ways that kind of keeps me, you know, in the hustle and bustle of the world and trying to keep up with everything. What keeps me kind of on track is really like thinking about what time of year are we in, and being like just cognizant of the changes and trying to get into that flow with, you know, Mother Earth, so that it's not so hard, you know. And my mind and my body are all in different spaces and different seasons. So it's in summertime. I actually like tripped out that it's summer right now, because I'm still processing a lot of this winter. So it's a trip, and I do not feel prepared in the least. And even in my personal life, it's been I'm not going to say crazy, but it's been challenging. It's been challenging because, you know, I'm trying to deal with anxiety and I'm still processing like the stuff from the ice, in, you know, the occupation, the metro occupation really, really, just did a huge, number on my nervous system. So I'm feeling super ill prepared, but you know what, in all my years in like being resilient and being on this earth, what I'm taking with this is like, you know what, I'm going to go with the flow. I'm not going to freak out like I would in the past. Because when you stop to freak, you know, when you freak out, you lose sight of the opportunities and the different ways that abundance, or the ways that things can line up for us, if we're not in the present moment, and if we're not like grateful and open-minded. So yeah, I'm tripping that it's summer. My 6-year-old, it's funny because I feel more like her social manager than sometimes, you know, like we had yesterday at her school, it was like her class with other classes. So during their lunch hour, invited all their families to come, bring blankets, bring, you know, lunches, and we can have a family end of the year picnic. So there's a lot of little activities like this at the school. And so I showed up and I just bought this big thing from Aldi I needed actually a new chair, a new folding chair for ceremonies and stuff, camping and stuff. So I saw this like quote unquote love seat at Aldi and I was like, okay, it's going to be a double whammy. I need this chair. So I brought this chair, brought this big old love seat to the picnic yesterday, and it was funny because I brought some Jimmy John's. I was like kind of like scanning everyone's lunch, and there's like, or I didn't bring Jimmy John's, I brought Jersey Mike's. The family in front of us had Jimmy John's, and there's like Chipotle, and I saw McDonald's, and it was cute. But after, you know, there was a lot of families coming up and they're like, so we got to do play date and, you know, we have to exchange, numbers. And yeah, I'm totally her social calendar manager, PR person. So yes, it's great. It's great to like, it's crazy to see the difference in like the age groups and, the different vibes and stuff as being a parent. So anywho, yeah, but I'm going to take a break. I wanted to share some of my favorite jams with you, and it has no rhyme or reason, but it just kind of fits in with where my heart and my mind and the season is. So, we're going to play something. It's a surprise, but we'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Medicine Bundle. I'm your host, Deanna Standing Cloud. We'll be right back.
Bottom roof. just wonder who you are. Thunder towns out for the lightning seeds. You feel like a movie star. Listen, they say the first time made the greatest. I tell ya, if I had the chance to do it all again,
you're listening to Dallas Goldtooth on the Medicine Bundle on KFAI 90.3.
In a time when trust in science has never been more vital, the Science Museum of Minnesota is asking advocates like you to speak up for science. You can stand up for scientific rigor, evidence-based learning, and policy informed by proven expertise. Our community depends on science to make sense of the world, and it's time to make our voices heard. Learn more about how you can join our cause at smm.org/mission.
Support for KFAI comes in part from the Dakota, presenting the John Pizzarelli Trio Monday, June 22nd and Wednesday, June 24th. John Pizzarelli and his trio celebrate a centennial of Tony Bennett with two performances each evening from his latest album, Dear Mr. Bennett. It's a heartfelt tribute from John Pizzarelli, whose father, Bucky, was a frequent sideman to the late legend. More information about the John Pizzarelli Trio, Dear Mr. Bennett, is available at dakotacooks.com.
Bonjour, we're back. This is Medicine Bundle. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud. So thank you for spending your Friday evening with us. It is the last day of school for our school district. Isn't it crazy? Like, summertime is up on us. And it was developed out of St. Cloud State University, but there are two star maps of both Ojibwe and Dakota star constellations. So it just shows all the constellations that are in each of our nations. And the summertime is... I was actually in the Black Hills one time, and I was told by one of the Hunka relatives out there that when the Big Dipper is like upright, and you see the Big Dipper upright, that is a time where you collect medicines, you are on the land, the days are longer, and it's just a sacred time. It's a very sacred time. So, and I remember, you know, spending some summers in the Black Hills, and how sacred that experience is and really is in my heart and will always be there. So it's one of the places for me that, you know, like my spirit really, really comes alive and really is ignited a lot on such powerful landscapes. So shout out to the Black Hills, I'm saying Pateo Yate, thinking of Buffalo Nation. But the Black Hills are such a beautiful place. And Turtle Island, and just in general, I was talking to my son, but he doesn't really listen to me. So I was talking to myself, the other day, and I'm like, man, Turtle Island, thinking about Turtle Island before colonization is such a treat for Native people. It's like one of those things where you're like, you imagine the landscape and you look around and you're like, man, can you imagine what it was like, you know? And I think that's kind of one of those like Native daydreams where you're like, man, what did this place look like? Even your backyard, and like, what did it look like? And no doubt, this place, Turtle Island, is a paradise. And that's, and I mean it in the most divine sense, because of the water and the beauty and the animals and, you know, all of those beautiful plants that comes from Turtle Island, that are native to this place, and that really resonate with our language, you know, because our language is so tightly connected to the earth in a way that it's like one and the same. So I was just thinking about daydreaming, that Indian daydream of what did my backyard look like before colonization. So, yeah, And have you guys ever had that daydream where you're looking around and, man, I'm going to put my old indigenous glasses on and look at this place. But yeah, Turtle Island, such a beautiful place. And you know what? It's still our beautiful home. And even post-colonization, post-apocalyptic vibes, you know, I look around and it's still so beautiful. And it's still such a beautiful gift. And it's still our beautiful relative. So, you know, and my oldest taught me that. My oldest taught me that because when we played lacrosse, I was so against, like, the contemporary stick. I'd get kind of like, you know, like, why are you, you know, my daughter would carry a contemporary stick once in a while along with, you know, our traditional sticks that we have, and I'd be all, you know, why are you bringing that contemporary stick around? And she said, Mom, it's kind of like Native people who, you know, who are like half Native and are biracial, and, you know, their origins are Native, but this is, you know, this is who we are, and we can't exclude our relatives if they're, you know, if they're Anishinaabe. So she taught me that, and I'm thinking about that in terms of looking at this land and looking at Turtle Island in 2026. So yeah, use your tobacco, you know, pray for our relatives who, just our community members, you know, there's so much going on. Everyone's trying to process their trauma and pay their bills and take care of families and navigate inner personal stuff and navigate this crazy society and watching our society. Just, you know, there's so many things going on. So I'm sending so much love to everyone who is listening, and find whatever makes you feel good and makes you heal, and go with it, whether it be writing or, you know, exercise, going to the gym. I love, you know, I used to love going to the gym and going swimming. Swimming was such a beautiful thing, and I think I want to do that again this year and get back into it. So there's so many different ways that we can heal as Native people. So please do what you do, whether it be music. It could be music, creativity, beadwork. But if you're interested in sharing what ways that you heal, please feel free to reach out. I'm inviting folks to come on to our show, or to Medicine Bundle, to our show. It is our show. And talk about what is their favorite healing techniques, or just the things that keep them afloat and keep them feeling human. So if you're interested in chopping it up with Deanna Standing Cloud on the Medicine Bundle, hit me up. I'm on the socials, man. I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok and Instagram, and I know that we're on the verge of getting into something new, but that's what I'm on. I'm on LinkedIn as well. So, you know, hit me up if you want to be a guest on Medicine Bundle. But right now we're going to take a little break. I'm going to share some more music. Oh, yeah, some more music for you on a Friday night. Hey. All right. We'll be right back.
Tempt me, drive me, feel so exciting, thought of.
You are listening to Medicine Bundle, and I'm just sharing a few of my favorite songs. So we had Prince, of course, Raspberry Beret. That is a classic. I love me some Prince. And we also had Aaliyah, More Than a Woman. And that is also one of my very favorite songs ever. So Prince and Aaliyah are like two of my ultimate favorite musicians and artists. And it's Aaliyah is actually like a few, like 2 weeks, 10 days or something older than me. So I have a very special connection to her, music. And she passed away, like, man, she was, I mean, I was young. I was 21, I think, same age as her when, you know, so, and she passed away a long time ago. Years ago, and it would have been so amazing to see what she would have brought to this world if she had been able to live out her life. So sharing that, and just as, I mean, we've had James Vukelic on the show before, and I'm, you know, I wanted to give you guys some content, but I am going to be using some of James Vukelic's online videos and audio, just so for us to learn, you know, talk about Niebuhr. He does it so great. So, and it's available, and he is actually one of my teachers also. I met him, man, when my daughter was really little. So he, you know, he's been a part of my learning journey and language. You know, it's always fun to geek out and talk about language with Kage Gabo. So he talks about Niebuhr in such a beautiful way. So I'm just sharing that too because of summer being such a beautiful time for Native people. But yeah, I wanted to share that. It's been a couple of crazy weeks for me personally. So thank you for hanging in and always tuning in on Fridays to listen to Medicine Bundle. It's really, really appreciated. I get feedback from the community often, and sometimes I don't get to listen to myself. Sometimes, you know, I'll be in the car and I'll try to listen like actual radio, like turn it to 90.3, and it doesn't pick up as well over here. So I'll have to like stream it on my phone and, you know, run it through the Bluetooth and things. But it was funny. I think I've shared this with you guys on previous show before, but I was picking up my daughter from, it was daycare, must have been last year or something, but you know, my show popped on and I'm like, yay, I'm so excited to listen to this. And my daughter she's like, this is so boring, change it, I want to listen to this. I don't even think she knew it was me. I don't think she cared, actually, to be honest. So I'm in a very humbled position. Just so you know, if my dad is listening, I'm humbled every day, just so you feel a little bit better about everything. Dad, I'm humbled every day by my kids. So I had to tell him that last week. He came up, he came over to the house, or to, you know, for my son's graduation party. And he likes, it's funny, the dynamic, like he talks to me about, you know, stuff. And that's what dads are supposed to do. But it's funny because he thinks that I don't know some things. And so I had to get mad at him. And I'm like, Dad, you know, I get humbled all the time. So just to make you feel better, I'm very uncomfortable most of the time. You had to be there. You had to have been there in order to get that joke. But this is Medicine Bundle. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm going to, you know, just sign off here and let you get on with your weekend. But thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have a special guest next weekend. I'm looking forward to chatting with her. It'll be announced next week. And I hope you tune in to Medicine Bundle next Friday as well from 6 to 7. I'm trying to practice my old powwow MC voice, getting ready for your two-spirit powwow, you know? Oh, I have to tell you one story. I don't know if I have ADHD or whatever, but I was reading a story to my daughter, you know, books and stuff, and I started really laying it on thick with my Red Lake accent, and I started reading the book like I was, you know, from Red Lake, really. And she called it sound like a powwow voice. So any native thing is connected to powwow, so powwow. Or she'll say Jibwe is all native people. But yeah, I was laying it on my Red Lake accent. Scratch that. Don't ever repeat that again. No. My Red Lake, thick Red Lake accent. I'm reading this book. It was like a book about Croc takes a shock. It was like a phonics book. But anyway, I lost it. But I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. I appreciate all the ways that you claim to heal yourself, to heal your life, to heal the seven generations ahead and seven generations behind us. So, with that, I want to bid you a good weekend, and I hope to catch you in the community or on the powwow trail this summer 2026. And I'll be back next week with a very, very lovely guest. So I'm looking forward to that. Have a great weekend. Giga Wobbamin. Giga Wobbamin. Ooh, P-Dama-Ya-Ye. Oh, Meek-Wage, Giga-Wobba-Min-A-Nim. Oh, yeah, Giga-Wobba-Min-A-Nim. Oh, yeah, Giga-Wobba-Min-A-Nim.
Aho, bonjour, and then I'm marking a duck. Anin, Kage-Gabo, and Dishnikas. Mekanak and Dudem. Mekanak Wajuing and Dunjaba. Beishoga Kabakong and Danongong. Ah, Pichigo Miigwech Bizendawig. And what I said there was, hello, all of my relatives. My name is Kage Gobble. I'm Turtle Clan. I'm a descendant of Turtle Mountain. I live close to Minneapolis today. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to this live Ojibwe Word of the Day. Again, this is something I look forward to doing on Thursday nights. I consider it a privilege and a pleasure to take a few moments to talk about Anishinaabe, Ojibwe, Chippewa, our language, the culture, history, spirituality, the ethics, the way of being. And that you take a few moments out of your day to share that and to listen as well. I'm deeply grateful in Gichimi Gwechewendum. So I wanted to say I'm very grateful and thank you. Thank you very much. And today's word of the day is one that I am so thrilled about because we had a very long winter and kind of a long spring too, but it's Niben, Niben. And that word means it is summer. It is summer, and tomorrow will be the summer solstice. So I thought, well, let's cover what that word is, Niben. And well, it's a season, and it's one of the four seasons that kind of make up an entire year from the Anishinaabe perspective. So the first season, where we begin our year, would be Ziguan. Ziguan, it is spring. And that would be like Anishinaabe New Year. This is when we all meet at the sugar bush, when we begin harvesting and processing maple sap and turning that into zinzibakwan, turning that into delicious, healthy, nutritious maple sugar. And then our next season is Niben, summer. And we'll go a little more in depth in that in just a moment. Then we have Dagwagon. It is fall. This would be when Miwapi Manomanikedo Anishinaabe. This is when Anishinaabe begin processing, harvesting wild rice, the good seed, the good berry, and where that's going to give us a whole bunch of nutrition and give us life. It really will. And then there will be Bibun. Bibun. It is winter. And yeah, during the winter months is when people are hunting, they're going on their trap lines. They're also Miwapi Atsoketawe Anishinaabe. This is when they begin telling the sacred stories during the winter. And so this summer, this season, will be one of four, and it's summer. And personally, I've listened to some old folks and some traditional people, and when you ask them, oh, what's your favorite season? They're like, oh, I don't have one. It's part of a series. It's part of a big circle. And to like one part more than the other would kind of throw you off balance. I happen to love summer. I also love Dagwagon. I really love the colors in fall. But this word Niben, and I want to kind of geek out because I have a background in linguistics. The historical linguistic part of this word Niben, if you compare it to other languages in the Algonquin language family, that's the language family that Ojibwe, Anishinaabe, Chippewa, Potawatomi, Odawa, Cree, Cheyenne, Arapaho, on maybe like 38 different tribes are in this language family. If you start comparing this word Niben to other languages, you get an idea of how old and how ancient this word is. So, for example, if we were to compare it to our neighbors and our relatives to the north, it would be they would say Niben in Cree. And that's very similar to Niben in Anishinaabemowin, in Ojibwe. So already you can tell, oh, this same word has shown up in two different languages. Now, if you go all the way to the East Coast, to the Atlantic Ocean, where the Penobscot and the Maliseet live, if you listen to them pronounce the word for it is summer. And I should make a point, in all of these languages, this is a word sentence. So if you say Niben, what you're actually saying, if you were to translate this thoroughly and completely with great care and detail in English, you would actually be saying, it is summer. It is summer. It's a complete sentence in one word. And if you ask them on the East Coast, how do you say it is summer? This is what it would sound like. Nipon. Nipon. So our ancestors hearing this would have known, ah, we're related. your relative. And the hypothesis is that these languages all came from one language, one source language that was spoken a long, 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 long time ago. And to put a date on that, it's, I think from a scientific perspective, practically impossible, but it's easy to say thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago that this proto-language would have been spoken. And that some of these words that were spoken from thousands and thousands of years ago are still all in our languages today. So if you say something like Niben, you're not just saying it in Ojibwe, you're saying it in Cree, you're saying it in Meskwaki, you're saying it in Potawatomi, you're saying it even in Maliseet and Penobscot. In Mi'kmaq, it's a Neep. So it's all the way from the Atlantic coast. That's a vast space. That's a vast area of people who are speaking a related language. So one of my questions that when I began learning about the seasons and how they differentiated the times was, how would you know that it's solstice? How would you know that it is summer? And these people who spoke this proto-language had, I think, amazing technology. And there's something that I want to share with you that it goes back, again, literally thousands of years ago. And it is in an area where we know there were Algonquian speakers in Ohio. And these are the Miami, Illinois, Kaskaskia tribe, as well as the Shawnee. And that comes from our word Shawaneneni, Shawaneneni, the southerners. And so they spoke a language related to us too. In fact, if you were to check out their words for summer, you'd notice how very closely related they are. And there's this huge earthwork there, a mound. It's the largest serpent effigy in the world. And I'm going to try to show you a picture of it. It's an artistic representation. It's incredibly huge, and something amazing is going to happen here. It's cool because on a number of these earthworks and a number of these mounds, they will line up with the heavens on a particular day. So tomorrow, on summer solstice, if you're paying close attention and if you're at this mound, you will notice something quite amazing happen. Let me see it. That tomorrow, if you are standing right here, you will notice the sunrise. It will rise at exactly this part. Equinox, it will rise here. And at winter solstice, it will rise here. Now this, I don't know if you have an idea of how huge this effigy mound is, but it is, again, it's the largest serpent effigy mound in the world. And as people are doing more careful scientific explanation of it and examination of this mound, we're finding that it was probably begun, or if the first draft of it had been done at around the time Aristotle was tutoring Alexander the Great. So this goes way, way back into antiquity, that our ancestors had paid such close attention to where the sun was, where the earth was, how the seasons changed, and when they could note exactly at what point it would change. And so that's what they did. They created this work. And from there, if you have, this is how it was explained to me, an old man in the village with a stick making notches day by day by day. You would get, using that turtle calendar, you would have four, you would have the 7 times 4 giving you 28. If you could go through the 13 moons on a turtle's back, you would have an entire year. So even if you had unseasonably cold or warm weather like we had this year, I mean, I know in like April it was snowing, that could easily throw someone off thinking, well, you know, is it really spring yet? It's been awfully cold and snowy. If you were to able to pay careful attention, and someone in your odena, in your town, in your village was keeping count, you would know exactly what time you were. You would know exactly where you were on that sun's, on your path around the sun. And so I think that's remarkable. And something even cooler You know, we even have a name for this one in Ojibwe, Missiganabic. It's the giant serpent. So this is why I think the people who would later become the Ojibwe, before I think the Ojibwe language existed, were the ones who created this. But tomorrow, and this is really neat, when the sun sets, it will set in such a way that it will look like this huge serpent is actually eating the sun. And so it is remarkable that people paid such close attention that they knew exactly where the sun would be at this time every year. And another remarkable part too, I'll just show this. They weren't just paying attention to the sun because we run on a lunar calendar. They also noted where the moon would rise too. And it rises in these same locations. So I think that is just remarkable. And this would be important because we're doing very important things during the summer. One would be if you look at the names of the moons that will take place. One of the moons, this moon, is the Odei Menigisis. This is the Heartberry Moon, the Strawberry Moon. So this is when we would begin gathering that very delicious yet very important and nutritious medicine, that mushkiki, that strength of the earth, the strawberries. This is also the Gittegegisis, the Gardening Moon. This is when we're harvesting and or when we're planting and we're cultivating and we're looking after crops that are going to feed us. And particularly things like mandamin, okosamon, pumpkins, squash, mushkoresamon, the beans. And when you get all three of those growing together, you have a very nutritious and delicious combination going on with the like, three sisters. Next month will be the Apita Nibinogisis, the Midsummer Moon. But this would also be the Miskomenigisis. This is when they would begin harvesting raspberries. And then when you get into August, you have Minangisis, or Minigisis, the Blueberry Moon. So at this time, they're harvesting a number of berries. They're cultivating crops. These berries will be dried and dehydrated the same way we would with our wias, with our venison, with our meat. And so we would preserve them, and you would be able to have them even in winter. You would be able to soak them in water, rehydrate them, and they would be, according to some elders, just as delicious as when you had harvested them. And then you'd start getting ready for the Manomenikegisis, for the wild rice harvesting moon. So all of these things would be so important with what Anishinaabeg are doing, the kind of foods that they're harvesting, the way that they're preparing for Dagwagin, you know, Arash Baboon. As fall and winter are approaching, you know, at this point of year, they're harvesting, they're planting, they're growing, and they're enjoying what is so far been beautiful and wonderful weather. So I want to wish all of you a happy solstice. I want to say I hope you have a wonderful summer. I know I'm looking forward to this one. And I want to say Apajigo Miigwech Pizendai. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this live Ojibwe Word of the Day. And again, if you know someone who is interested in our language, our culture, our history, our spirituality, our way of being, please feel free to like and share this video. Aho, Miigwech Pizendai. Dagasana and Guamazik, please, all of you do take care. Banama Minwa Odasabandamangig Wabandamin. And the spirits will decide when we see each other again. Still I'm